Volume 22, Lag BaOmer. Several reasons are discussed regarding why there is such joy on the day of Lag BaOmer. One is that the students of Rabbi Akiva, who were dying from Pesach to Shavuos, stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, as is explained by the Meiri. A second reason is that it's the day of the passing of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who instructed that the day of his passing be a day of joy. Everything in Torah is precise, and so we must conclude that there's a connection between these two events, the day on which the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, and the day of the passing of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, in addition to the fact that Rabbi Shimon was a student of Rabbi Akiva. What is then the connection between the cessation of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva and the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon? It would seem that these two things are opposite in nature. Rabbi Shimon was one of the five surviving students of Rabbi Akiva, and one of the five who thus reestablished Torah in Israel, which means that the joy in the fact that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying really highlights the ongoing life of Rabbi Shimon and the ongoing life of the other four students of Rabbi Akiva, which is the opposite of a passing. But on the day in which a tzaddik passes, all his deeds and all his Torah study, for which he labored all his life, become cumulative and reflect what true life is, and thus it's understandable that on the day of his passing, he achieves his wholeness, and it shines in a revealed way. Since Rabbi Shimon's service was his life's work that began and was reflected in the cessation of the passing of the students of Rabbi Akiva, the celebration of his life on the day that death ended on Lag BaOmer. But why of the five students of Rabbi Akiva who lived is it specifically Rabbi Shimon's passing that falls on Lag BaOmer? It must be that the idea that the 24,000 students, stopped dying on this day has a unique connection to him more than to the other four. What was it that made Rabbi Shimon unique regarding the experience, this experience, and different to the other four students? To understand this, let's clarify the teaching of our sages, which states that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva did not behave with respect to one another. This sounds surprising, as Rabbi Akiva is the one who coined the phrase and taught, "V'ahavta l'reacha kameicha, zeklal gadol b'Torah," love your friend as you love yourself. This is a great law in Torah. How then could they, his students, who are called the students of Rabbi Akiva, meaning they were attached to the Torah he taught and to him, not behave with honor to one another? One of the explanations given for this is that each of the students of Rabbi Akiva had his unique way of understanding the Torah of his master, and each student served God in that way. So while for one, his emphasis was on love of God, a second served God with an emphasis on fear of God. Each one of them was passionate about his way of understanding and serving God to the point that they were convinced that one who did not serve God as they did was lacking something. And because they were the students of Rabbi Akiva, who was passionate about loving your friend as yourself, they were each not satisfied in their own growth, but felt that they need to influence their friends to serve God just as they were. When the students found one another's ways unacceptable to what they believed was the correct way to study Torah and serve God, there was disrespect from one to the other. It was their honesty, and not, God forbid, the opposite characteristic of saying one thing but meaning another, that created this reality when they could not honor one another properly, believing as they did that this was the only way to serve God, and without it, someone was lacking in their service of God. Now, because they were the students of Rabbi Akiva, it's understood that this steadfastness that each one had in their specific service of God was actually rooted in the divine service of Rabbi Akiva himself. We can explain this based on the fact that Rabbi Akiva was always, every day of his life, in a state of desire of Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice for the name of God. As the Talmud relates in the tractate of Brachas, the Rabbi Akiva declared to his students that all of his life he was anguished over when the opportunity for self-sacrifice would come his way and he could fulfill this mitzvah. Mesiras Nefesh is all-consuming. When a person is in a position of self-sacrifice, there's nothing of him that is not consumed with this. And this is what was similar in the service of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. They received this burning passion, this burning desire for self-sacrifice from their Rebbe, from Rabbi Akiva. And this passion penetrated and consumed every aspect of their divine service and every aspect of their being. They were so devoted to this idea with all their hearts and all their beings, to the extent that in these moments of passionate devotion to God, there was no space for anything or anyone else. Nevertheless, despite the greatness of their service, it stopped them from fulfilling their actual purpose. The divine service of Mesiras Nefesh on its own brings a person to a state of Ratzoi, the actual desire to leave one's earthiness and cleave to God. Therefore, though this level of desire for God is distinctly elevated, it doesn't fulfill the purpose and intention of man's creation. It doesn't fulfill the purpose, God's supernal purpose, which is for the yearning to ultimately bring a person back to earth with a desire to draw godliness into this lowly plane. This is achieved through a particularly orderly pattern of divine service, a divine service of reason and understanding. We can suggest that this is also the inner explanation for what our sages say, that they died, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died because they did not bestow respect upon one another, and because of this the world became desolate. There was so much ratzoi in their divine service, but no shuv, no return. And so the world became desolate, with no one drawing godliness consistently down into it. And this was where the five students of Rabbi Akiva were able to change things and make an impact in this world with a service of shuv, reestablishing Torah in this world. Certainly, these five students of Rabbi Akiva were also infused with the Mesiras Nefesh of their master. But for them, the divine service was whole in that it included the experience of their teacher, who entered the garden of mysticism whole and who left whole. His Mesiras Nefesh was, to begin with, whole. In other words, with the intention of leaving whole, the shuv aspect of divine service. Rabbi Akiva's desire to connect to God fully and without boundaries brought him to a heightened experience of passion, to a wholeness that was about drawing the godliness back down into this world. This is what's alluded to in the fact that Lag BaOmer is on the day of the 18th of Iyar. Our Rebbeim teach in regards to the 18th of Elul that it's the day that brings additional life force and passion into the service of Elul. Similarly, in our discussion, the 18th of Iyar brings a new force of life into the service of the month of Iyar. We know that in regards to the energy of the months of Nisan and Iyar, Nisan, the first month of the year, reflects the attribute of kindness, and Iyar, the second month, is about the attribute of Gevurah, severity. This is one of the clarifications for the connection of the passing of the students of Rabbi Akiva and the days of the counting of the Omer, most of which take place in the month of Iyar, because the Avoda of Iyar, the service, manifests in the side of Gevurah, which is the experience of Ratzon. Lag BaOmer then arrives and infuses passion into the service of Gevurah and Ratzon, ensuring that it is not a negative service towards death or desolation. Rather, it creates a new energy in the divine service itself and causes it to bring that energy into Shov, returning and drawing godliness into the world. This divine service is revealed in the divine service of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. For 13 years, he sat in a cave and was completely removed from the world, to the extent that there were certain mitzvahs he could not do in that state and could fulfill them only spiritually. This service is on the level of Ratzai. but this very experience brought him to the point that upon leaving the cave after 13 years, he brought this holiness back into the world, healing all who needed healing from his son's gaze and looking to repair whatever repair the world required. Because his service reflected that of his master and teacher, Rabbi Akiva, who entered in peace and left in peace. Rabbi Shimon entered the cave, experiencing Rotzei, and left it prepared to repair the world, Shov. This was reflected in his Torah study, as the Talmud in the Tractate of Shabbos tells us. At first, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would raise a difficulty before he entered the cave, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair would respond to his question with 12 answers. But ultimately, when he left the cave, when Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair would raise a difficulty, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai would respond with 24 answers. His Torah had doubled.